having problems with my headset.
I get bored, and then I start playing the shit.
I enjoyed it.
It's not bad. Groovy. I like Groovy. I like Groovy better than Fredboat.
A little bit easier.
Yeah, it seems more reliable, but maybe he's just not as popular yet. Who knows? How you doing, my friend?
I'm grumpy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't even know why.
Oh, that happens to me, too.
Fucking grumpy.
I got you. I got you, boo.
I told Aaron, I guess I'm going to go have fun with my friends.
Nice. Oh, Jesse's here. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Jesse.
I'm doing okay.
Cool. No Gersh. And Matt is yelling at people at work, but he says he's going to be here.
Why is he working so late?
Well, it may be related to the yelling part, guessing. I was yelling at people 45 minutes ago, so.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, there's something about, doing. Like, it's too late for me to be dealing with this shit, and I lose all control. That's how I am, anyway. I don't know how Matt is. One of my, like, it's me and two other guys from my factory, and then a bunch of people from other places. And I've been quiet. This meeting's been going on for months. and they've been fucking around. And I just lost it today. Of course, they moved the meeting back. I mean, I start at 6 a.m., right? And they schedule a 4:30 meeting. So, you know, that's cool.
I hate that.
So, anyway, I'm in the meeting, and they're just fucking around. And they're on, the managers are like wanting, they're fucking around, and then they're taking it out on the other guy, one of the other guys from my factory. And I'm like, this is bullshit. You guys aren't doing anything to look at this problem in your area. You just want it to be somewhere else. And like the other guy the third guy who's in there is a manager, and I'm like, and I'm IMing him. I'm like, I'm kind of losing it. He's like, yeah, I'm being quieter. Go. It's like, I was just waiting for you to break because this shit has gone on too long. So.
Sounds like a fun meeting.
Yeah, not so much. But, you know, we didn't really get anywhere because they kind of backpedaled a little bit. But now we're either meeting tomorrow or Monday because they have to report to the big bosses on Tuesday. And they haven't been doing shit. And I'm like, you know, have you done anything? They keep finding excuses for why the problem is not in their area, despite the fact that they're detecting the problem in their area. Hmm. Yeah. And they're, you know, these gyrations that they go through to make the problem from us would do Keanu Reeves in The Matrix.
Seems like it might be easier to just fix the problem.
You would think.
Just gonna shift this blame over here.
Yep. The amount of effort that goes into shifting blame.
You're in the military, Jason. You
no, see yeah. Come on. You should know.
CYA syndrome.
Mm-hmm. In corporate America, where the same shit happens.
Oh, the same shit. I mean, and the problem with Intel is it's there's a substantial fraction of ex-military. I mean, not the problem.
It's an issue.
I mean, it is like, you know, they like acronyms. Engineers and military types are an interesting combo because we like some of the same things, but then engineers sometimes have problems with like taking orders.
Yes.
So
not asking questions.
Yeah. So there's that little conflict, which I throw myself into every fucking time with flames on me. But
it sounds like it might also be a little bit of the, you know, business degrees, not really understanding it and trying to pretend.
Oh, no. I would say at least half the people in this meeting have PhDs.
Well, then the hell's wrong with them?
Well, they don't want the problem to be about them. They've gotten very, very, very lazy.
Are they all reviewer too? Is that what the problem is.
Something like that.
Hi, everybody.
Hey!
Hey,
he's alive.
I am alive.
Yay.
Despite what Jesse may think of me since I had a brain fart last night.
I saw that. Yeah, because I lurk in your OBX channel.
You do? You? Yeah. So you saw my horrible apology?
Well, I had considered doing OBX. It's probably, I mean, I still have regrets, but.
It's fun.
Probably a good thing I didn't. It would be awesome. Yeah.
I'm super bummed I missed last night. I set it up for reoccurring, and I don't know what the hell happened, but it was set for next Wednesday and 2 weeks from then on, and I didn't even track it. I already had two on the calendar this week, so.
Is two your limit, two per week?
Two is my limit, yeah. And two, and honestly, two's pushing it a bit. To be fair.
Okay. Good to know. I understand now your scheduling difficulties. That's I understand.
Yeah, I used up my last Mountain Dew for no reason.
Oh, your last one? Like, is the world out?
No, just my last one. Okay. Mountain Dew and vodka, delicious.
Oof. That sounds like a bad hangover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you know, the caffeine may blunt it a little.
Also, my cheap date. So like, I put a double shot in the bottom of a big glass and one can of Mountain Dew, and I'm done.
Good to go.
Just dissolve an Excedrin in every drink you take. I wonder how that would work.
It's probably bad for your liver.
Probably also tastes terrible. Oh,
I'm sure depends on how many drinks you drink.
Well, I'm still on my secret hack where I just don't eat anything and then I drink a little bit and go completely fucking bonko. But then I don't get a hangover because I haven't drunk that much. Your body's ability to process alcohol is independent of how much you eat. So
I apologize for being late. I'm going to give the reason out loud and Jason will know exactly what I mean. I'm going to say the word co and see what you associate with that word.
I understand.
We're rewriting all of our SLA language, and we've forbidden anybody to send out all this bullshit old SLA stuff that we've got. And so he calls me and goes, I think we've got a misconception here. This isn't an SLA. Here, I'm going to send you the documents. Take a look at them. I pop the first document open in big bold letters on the top. It says SLA. Huh.
Is it KO? Is it a person? Huh.
The salesperson. Uh-huh. Lord, save me.
Yeah. And listeners, does anyone not know what SLA is? It's service level agreement, I think. Yeah. Is that what you're...
It is indeed a service level agreement.
We have SLAs at Intel, even inside Intel.
Hmm.
Yeah. And their main purpose seems to be, between groups. Like, thou shalt not ask me for white paper approval at 4 p.m. on a Friday and expect an answer before fucking Monday, you dipshit.
That's reasonable.
Yep.
That is reasonable.
Oh, you want an answer today? The answer is fucking no.
Yeah. The answer is I'll tell you on Monday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, the problem is everything runs 24/7 and everything is a fucking emergency. So, oh well, what are you going to do? But
fuck them.
Fuck those guys. Matt, Jason is grumpy. I don't think Jesse's grumpy, but I've never seen Jesse. Well, I've seen Jesse a little grumpy. Yeah.
I'm kind of grumpy.
Okay, so we're all grumpy. I mean, I'm grumpy too. So we're going to just fix each other. And Gersh is out. So you're really not that late, actually. It's just a few minutes after 6:30. So
yeah, my kids are being dicks.
Mine too.
Nice.
Like we switch between like I'm never going to school again and school is too easy, so I'm homeschooling myself.
Oh wow.
So yeah, it's good times.
The good news is that never goes away.
Yeah, I'll bet.
My college freshman last week came over at like 11 on a Thursday. I was like, I don't have class. Everything's easy. This is dumb. And then came over last night. I'm so overwhelmed. I want to move out. Like, what happened? She's also a dipshit. She keeps getting fake eyelashes. And she goes to people's houses and gets fake eyelashes glued on her eyes. She's also allergic to latex. and then has allergic reactions, and her eyes puff up and then get infected. Jeez. So I'm like, Tessa, if you're going to lose all of your eyelashes. Yeah, just you have eyelashes. Knock it off.
Or use a non-latex based glue.
I got to mute for just a second. I'll be right back as soon as I can.
Okay.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, I feel you, dog. My, I don't have anything that can compare with those complaints. My son does have, his school starts on Monday, and he has, like, they've taken all the classes and they're compressing them. So they take only four classes at a time, whereas they normally do six, and then like a semester of six and a semester of six, but they're doing four for a trimester, four for a trimester, four for a trimester.
That's how my high school was.
Yeah, through a miracle of scheduling, he has three out of four AP classes for the fall. AP Physics, AP Calc.
Oh, Jesus.
And what was the other one?
He's a junior?
Yeah, AP Bio? No, he had AP Bio. Something else that's not like AP Easy. Not that there is one, but...
I was going to say, you know there's regular classes, right?
Well, he likes this stuff. But it was just a, you know, it's kind of a bad scheduling. So
yeah.
I looked at him today and said, you know, and he's sitting there playing his online games, which he plays for, you know, 8 hours a day now. I'm like, your life is going to change next week. He just kind of grimaced and looked at me. and we've been kind of trying to like wean him off computer games. So I've getting him books, and I'd gotten him. Have you guys heard of the Stormlight Archive, which is,
Sanderson, right?
Sanderson, yeah. So he started reading that, and he's kind of enjoying it. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, this thing is so long. I'm like, yeah, you know, there's more books in that series. He's like, this isn't it? I'm like, yeah, no, there's more books. I'm like, and then I looked it up today. It's like, and I asked him, like, guess how many total books are planned for that series? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like 10, and his face just
I didn't know that.
Hilarious. Yeah, 10 books planned for that series. Each one is like 800 pages long.
Yeah.
It's the Wheel of Time Redux, which Sanderson just finished the other. Although I got to say
is Sanderson planning on dying before he finishes this too?
Probably. The Stormlight Archive.
Gotta keep it going.
Yeah, I think there's more going on. Like, they have a bunch of plot lines, whereas the Wheel of Time was just like, there was a lot of stuff dragging on and dragging on. I mean, there were a lot of plot lines in Wheel of Time.
Two
books, but...
I got to the... How many books did you make it through?
Two.
Oh, it gets so much worse. It gets so much worse.
Validating my behavior.
But I like book seven... literally half of the main characters do not make an appearance at all.
Wow.
Because their stories are in book eight, where the other main characters don't make an appearance at all.
Jesus Christ. Wow. That's very George R.R. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The worst.
All right. Continue the garbage time. I need to take a little break for a sec. I'll be right back. I've been preloading.
So I was regaling the OBX crowd with how much I love Death Stranding. So good.
What is that?
It's a video game. It's been out on PS4 for a while, and it just came out on PC.
Huh.
You're like a post-apocalyptic delivery person, but then there's like a lot else going on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
And it's Kojima.
Yeah. I mean, it's really like an interactive movie.
Mm.
And like they even have actors like as, you know, looking like themselves, like Mads Mikkelsen is in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, I'm still not sure who his character is, but...
Wow, it looks just like him.
Yeah, it is. I mean, right. Like, all the characters look just like the actors and actresses. And like, the first time, like, that you really talk to them, like, a little, you know, credit comes up, like, this is this person's name, this is the actor playing.
Stop being distracted.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Is it like I'm bad at video games. Sound like we lost somebody. Oh, we lost
them. Oh, Groovy. It was just Groovy. I saw it happen.
Is it like probably not.
I want to say, no. Okay. I want to say Last of Us, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
It like has the, sort of where that.
It's
vibe.
Just like one player that you follow, like on their yes. own kind of thing.
You are yeah. this player. What's really interesting about this, and something I thought is brilliant, and I'm sure another game did it before, but in this game, it's single player. But all the other players around the world are like building buildings and useful things in the world, and they can appear in your game as well, and vice versa.
Oh, weird.
And there's no currency, like everything is like likes. It's oh. like you can it's like, man, this player put a bridge here where I really needed one. I'm gonna like their bridge. And then, like, I put a generator where someone else really needed it, and they gave me some likes.
That's cool. Wow.
Yeah. It's like the best, my favorite parts of MMORPGs without all the bad parts.
Without other people.
That's what I said.
Exactly.
Yeah, also, like, the enemies are truly frightening. Like, I don't like to play alone in the dark.
Yeah. Right. I wouldn't time. Like it. I don't like scary yeah. stuff. That's awesome.
Good sign.
I just read a cyberpunk short story collection, mm-hmm. and then one of
oh,
them.
Oh, I saw you on Goodreads. Yeah.
What was and it? It's it. It is called. Neon Leviathan.
Right.
And in one of the stories, and they're all connected, they're all in the same universe, but in one of the stories there's a very complex kind of shame and political rating system, and you can see it on your heads up display. Everybody's
nice.
Everybody's ratings.
Well, that's like when
Woofy and Down and Out.
Yeah, like Woofy.
Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
I loved that book when I first read it, and then I went back to it just a couple years ago, and I was like, I don't know. It didn't grab me as much for some reason.
Which book is this?
Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom.
By Cory Doctorow.
Yeah.
Okay. If you read one book of his, read Little Brother.
Little Brother.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. No. I think he's been on my to-read pile for a while, but I don't think I've ever read anything by him.
Yeah, if you want like an interesting take on post-scarcity humanity, read Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom. If you want a terrifying look at current humanity, read Little Brother.
Okay.
Would you agree, Jason?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And did that become a series? I got the feeling that there was a sequel, but I didn't ever read it. And maybe not. Yep, sequel. Titled Homeland.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Never read that.
But one thing about him, Doc, is he releases all his books under
open source Creative Commons. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds like Cory Doctorow. He's in that whole, like, you know, like Will Wheaton, Cory Doctorow, they're all in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Wired.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun story of his. It's Eastern Standard Time or something.
Oh, okay.
It's like, what if time zones were like in a battle to like for dominance and like different people like represent different time zones, like Pacific time zone, like has agents in New York trying to schedule meetings at during, nice. You know, PST times and like weird shit like that. It's hilarious.
That is kind of funny. and sounds like kind of my life. Because
I was gonna say, yeah, and almost like the guild.
Yeah, kind of. Or, you know, Intel's very much like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Those 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. slots are very valuable.
You could always move to the East Coast.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, I mean, if I get burned out of here, maybe.
I was going to say, we're not on fire over here.
Yeah. I don't think you can appreciate how fucked up it is to walk outside to an orange sky.
Like right after you put that picture in Rocket, my parents sent me a text with a picture like that looked almost exactly the same of their sky in San Francisco. And I'm like, wow, whole West Coast is just on fire.
You can go look at the satellite, like, because so the whole thing that, like, you know, it doesn't happen often in Oregon and Washington, but the winds shifted from the east. And that has just fucked everything because, like, to the east is hot, fiery land, and the winds, like, got up to, like, 70 miles an hour. So, like, down power lines, sparked fires, and then spread them like crazy. Like, there's a bunch of people that work for Intel that are fucked because the suburbs of Portland there's a whole county that's on the outskirts of Portland that's on, the whole county's on level one. I'd say 50% of it's on level two. And so level one is you're in trouble. Level two is get ready. And level three is get the fuck out.
So unless you're a prepper and then bitch and moan.
I guess if you have an underground bunker, maybe. But, you know, I mean, they can't enforce the get out orders. But, yeah, people have already died. So who knows? It's like entire towns have burned in Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
Because, and like they shut down I-5. It's not just like out in the forest lands. It's all over because this weird weather event and the fact that, you know, everything's super dry, everything's super hot. And then we had these winds shift, caused a bunch of power lines to go down. I mean, it's no gender reveal parties up here, as far as I know. But although it's Antifa, apparently, setting all the fires. That's what I heard.
That's right. Because nothing says fuck you fascism like setting things on fire. Oh, wait.
Right. Well, I mean, according to Scott Adams, Antifa is related to the Nazis, you know. I mean, related right. in the fact that they're the same.
Well, they wouldn't exist without the Nazis. I mean, that yeah. is...
Oh, my God. I came on right in time for the Nazi talk.
Ipso facto.
We're going to trigger Jason, but anyway. Yeah, Scott Adams is so fucking...
Were you talking about Nazi porcelain dolls? Is that how we're going to trigger Jason?
Yes. Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, man.
Hitler, little doll. I'm going to color
porcelain Hitler dolls underneath.
No, you'll trigger Jason if you start screaming Law and Order. Then I'm.
Oh my God, so much triggering. Yeah, I was going to say like
damage.
My mood is affected by the fact that like I have my curtain open and like my room's been like I'm in orange hell.
It's like
and
a nice red
the
glow.
Political situation today.
Yeah.
I have a simple question. I just want to know when they say they're pro-life, what life exactly are they talking about?
Just unborn children. That's
just fetus.
No one else. Life. Yeah. Everyone else can die.
My mistake.
Protect all the unborn children.
Yeah.
There's no hypocrisy there. What are you talking about?
No. That's just not something I wonder every day.
Maybe they're pro what was the crazy ass movie where old people died from the 70s where they all had
Logan's Run?
Logan's Run. Yeah, maybe they're pro Logan's Run. It's like if you're young, well, no, because that's not true. Because
hey, to be fair, I'm kind of pro Logan's Run too.
I kind of am too.
Oh, you made me spit take on that shit. That was great.
I mean, yeah, Logan's Run sounds good. I'm hoping more for like a old man's war, but I'll take Logan's Run.
Hell yeah.
Old man's war would be fucking awesome. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Put me in a young sleeve with a pissed off.
Yeah.
And then send me out to die.
With some AI in my head that I hate.
Yeah, but you get to see space. You get to see the...
I'm in. Put me there now. I don't even need to get old.
What the fuck? God damn, I'm too drunk. The something, something off the shoulder of Orion.
Yeah.
Before you die.
Something, something.
Something. And yet we all know exactly what
tears
he's talking
about. Tears in the rain. Tears in the rain.
Like tears in rain. So good.
I'm mixing all my metaphors, but you know, old man's war. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking like they would send us out to Orion.
And... Have you guys seen Midsommar?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. So I am... you gotta watch it.
Okay.
I'll, here's the pitch. Here's
is
the
that
pitch.
Why you can only game two nights a week? Because you guys are you watch so much stuff. How do you keep up with everything?
It's just a movie. Well, Jason, I saw it in the theater.
The meta question
what
is,
what
is
are
the
theaters?
Only reason you can game two nights is because question. Your wife has your testicles in her hand.
Well, that's the truth.
Oh, see, you don't mean Midsommar. You mean Midsommar.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean.
Shit. Jesse's probably Swedish, saying that in costume. He's probably cosplaying Midsommar right now.
Horror movie.
Is it Swedish?
A folk horror film.
Yep.
From Sweden.
It's the guy that did... And of course, I've drank just enough not to be able to remember the movie he did before that. So it's a horror movie.
Hereditary.
Yeah, Hereditary. That's right. So it's the same director, writer as Hereditary, which is an excellent horror movie. I'm not a huge horror fan, but these two I highly recommend. But Midsommar, it's not dark. It's light. I mean, it's the day of the year in Sweden where the sun never goes down. So here's this horror movie that's happening. And it's never in the dark. It's super innovative in that way. But it is...
I don't know. What was that one with Robin Williams and Al Pacino?
Anything with Robin Williams and Al Pacino can't be actual horror.
Yeah, Robin Williams was a serial killer. And they were in Alaska during
that's a remake of I think, also Swedish film.
Well, there you go. See, only the Swedes.
You know what? That makes sense. Awakenings.
Yeah, Swedes have a lot of darkness, even though, ironically, sometimes
we think of different movies.
But it's a
a different one.
It's essentially a commune, right? So, and these kids come to this Midsommar festival. A friend of theirs at college. They're like, it's springtime, so he's like, come back to my village, and we'll, you know, we have this big festival. And I don't want to tell a whole lot because it's super good, and I don't want to spoil anything, but. But when people get to a certain age, they die in that in that village. And here's the thing. You watch it and you're like, huh, that makes a lot of sense. It's really fucking twisted, but that makes a lot of sense. I want to go out when I'm in the shape those people are. Highly recommended.
Okay, yeah.
No one ever really wants to die. I hate to tell you.
Based on a Norwegian film, not a Swedish film, Insomnia.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Same difference. What's the difference? Yeah,
don't let them hear you say no.
Oh, I know. I kid. I'm purposely saying that.
I know.
I mean, one went with the Nazis and one didn't, so everything's fine, right? They're the same.
Hashtag 2020.
Well, one had a choice and one didn't, so I mean.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, you're already in our capital. I guess we'll join Norwegian you.
Friends, but I don't have any Norwegian friends, so fuck those guys.
You have Norwegian descended friends. One of them's right here on the call.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm like 95% Norwegian.
I'm probably third generation part Norwegian anyway. Yeah, yeah. I'm like European mutt, so I've got all that shit. I got a fucking shit ton of German, actually. So me and Pete will come and, you know, take you over, Matt. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that'd be Finland, wouldn't it?
We will dominate you.
Did you guys watch Robot Chicken?
Yes. Love Robot Chicken.
That's great stuff.
One of my favorite skits ever in that was the countries of World War II as kids in a classroom.
I didn't see that one.
Like Germany, like starts pulling other desks to him. And like starting with Poland, and like he's got all these desks around him, and America's in the back with like a big soda and sunglasses on, and Japan comes up and smacks the soda out of America's hands, and America's like, "That does."
That's pretty good.
It was. Really
The countries as the World War One analogy for that is pretty good too. The guys in a bar for World War One.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah, although that's not a robot
chicken stuff.
No, but
a set of
games. You know what tickles me on YouTube? There's that scene from, and I looked the movie up once, but it's World War II, and it's that scene of Hitler losing his shit.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody puts every other kind, every subject. I think the good ones of those, they just tickle me.
Yeah, that's very Reddit. That's very Reddit to edit videos. And
that actor like hates those.
Oh, I bet.
I can imagine. He doesn't like, being like, portrayed as Hitler over and over?
No, it's that he put so much into playing that role and to see it ridiculed. And just, I think part of his problem is seeing Hitler not taken seriously, which is a problem. Sure. But
it's true. Yeah. No, that has a real problem. But on the other hand, like, you know, you understand, right, that memes are self-propagating and you know, the information is what propagates. It's not life. It's not any of this bullshit. It's just information.
Just information.
Yeah. It's all memetic, if you will.
That's going to be my RPG someday, where we're all memes. All memes trying to survive. A virus? Just a fucking meme. It's all information trying to survive. That's what I life is.
Post-singularity, we're just kind of hanging out as memes.
That's
just
right. Fuck. GURPS.
Memes being memes, GURPS, baby.
GURPS transhuman. Oh, it'd be awesome.
I love transhuman shit. I'm in, Duck.
Okay.
It's going to have to be like 2021 at this point, though. Yeah.
Well, by then we'll be LARPing it, so it'll be fine.
I was going to say, yeah, we could play multiple games at the same time because we'll be.
That's right. I'll just devote three or four threads to it. It'll
divert some bandwidth.
Yeah. I'm already uploading right now. I don't know what you guys are doing.
I'm so ready for that. I can do my job so much better from inside of the machine.
And by the way, if anyone is uploading themselves right now, it's you, Duck.
I know.
I'm positive of that.
I know. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I have thought about it.
Someone at work was like, "You seem like the kind of guy that would put the thing behind your ear that you could plug into." I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah, are you fucking kidding me?
You're an idiot if you wouldn't."
Who wouldn't?
What, I can put a processor in my brain that makes me twice as smart as I am and make me remember everything? Yeah.
Come on.
Put it in there. I can put a little thing that allows me to open up doors in my wrist. Yeah, put it in there.
That's right. That's right. I'd do it. The necro will live even after this body is gone. Mark my words.
Mark my words.
What are we drinking, folks?
I had a Negroni earlier, and I'm on soda water now.
Okay. All right.
Cut my alcohol consumption way back.
Okay. For any particular reason, or is this related to the you felt didn't feel like drinking alcohol a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, kind of carrying through.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Jesse, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Mio and vodka.
Mio, wow. Like the water drops?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's it's an orange cherry. I mixed.
So like flavored water, but if you're flavoring vodka instead of water.
Well, it's essentially, no, there's water in here too.
Sure. Yeah.
It's vodka and Kool-Aid.
That would be drunky. That would be way too drunky, just putting the Mio directly in vodka. Who would do that?
Well, now that you've put that thought in my head.
Yeah.
And Matt, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking tequila.
Is it tequila?
I'm drinking tequila.
Tequila? You're drinking tequila?
You didn't say tequila. We all know you're drinking tequila.
Sorry. Hey, I bought some Fortaleza, Matt.
Ooh!
Yeah. I haven't opened it yet. I do like the bottle. I like the little top with it, which is a little
agave.
The agave.
Oh. Yeah.
I wish we were on camera. You could see me like totally pumping my fist right now.
Yeah. No, I listened to you. Although they didn't have the Blanco, so I bought the
Reposado.
No, the Añejo.
Oh, the Añejo. No, I haven't had their Añejo yet.
Yeah, but it was $80 bucks, so it wasn't the bargain that you had talked about. But I'm at the liquor store. I'm already risking myself for money. COVID. Let's reward myself. Yeah,
you're gonna love it.
Okay,
and you'll want to pick the Blanco up when you get a minute because the Añejo. Right. I think the Añejo. I haven't had it. I've had the Reposado, which is fantastic. Right. My next bottle I'm buying is that Añejo, though. So super excited. Well, definitely, for you to try
I'll try it out. On one of our RPG sessions or something. But I am. So today is a not eating day. So the duck is all ready to go. And I, I recently harvested my infusion of cherry, berry, vanilla, Everclear.
Ooh. Wow.
And I add that, I dilute that a little bit, and I put a little honey syrup in because my body is like so eager for any calories. It'll take the alcohol, it'll take the honey. It's like, fuck, give me that. And and then I put a twist of lemon in there, and it is, and then I had one. I'm like, wow, that's too good. And now I'm on my second. So I am fucked up.
Nice.
I love it.
It's good.
I am drinking Arietti. So I went over and cleaned my desk out of my office. And while I was over there, I went to my favorite game shop, which is the Gaming Goat, Jason, if you haven't been.
I haven't.
And then I also went to Tops, and they had four tequilas that I've been looking for that they don't carry at Total Wine. So I picked up a bottle of G4 Reposado and a bottle of Arete Blanco. So I'm drinking the Arete today. The G4 is the one I'm super excited about, so I decided to go second with that one. So
Matt, how do you drink your tequila?
What neat.
Just completely neat. No, yeah, ice, so nothing.
So ice is fine, Duck. So don't let anybody tell you how to do it. So a little bit of ice is fine.
I'm just curious. You do, you, baby. You do.
So yeah. I drink it neat. Out of that modern glass that I was telling you about. But then I have Topo Chico on ice next to me that I every few sips I clear my palate with, and I think the Topo Chico adds a really nice compliment to it.
Nice. Sometimes. I need to cleanse my palate of tequila, so I drink some tequila.
No, Topo Chico is just mineral water.
Yeah, it's just mineral water.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's got a little bit of salinity, though, which I think a little bit of salt goes nicely with tequila.
So I did not know that. I just figured it was like, another tequila.
Even if I drink it straight, I always salt the rim. I can't help it. I love it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Do you. Again, this right. there's no rim. Rules.
Yeah.
Throw a couple of cubes of ice in it. You know, yep. But I like it straight personally.
Put your balls in.
Yeah. Just dump them right in there.
Salted rim is still straight. Like I'll drink it, no ice. I'll put a salted rim and a lime, and sometimes I won't even squeeze the lime. I'll just get a little salt. Ugh.
The way they recommend you eat mezcal or drink mezcal is you drink the mezcal, and then next to it, either you salt the rim using the worm salt, or you have slices of cucumber with the worm salt on it. So you eat those in between sips. And so
what is
good.
It about the worm salt? Because I've eaten one of those worms as a dare once.
Mm-hmm.
They don't taste that good.
No. So, but they do taste really good, Jesse, when they dry them and then grind them and mix them in with this really great chili salt mixture that goes along with them. So it adds this umami. No, I don't think it's... You know what, Jason? It is like tahini if you added a little bit of soy sauce to it or a little bit of of umami to tahini.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know how tahini has the brightness? Like it's got that citrusy brightness. So it doesn't really have that. It's got... Take that citrusy brightness out of the tahini and replace it with umami. And that's exactly what it would taste like. One of these days when the thing lifts... We'll have to try a little because I got the fucking gourds that you drink the mezcal in, you know, the ones from Mexico that are actual gourds and the worm salt. Yeah, so we'll do it up.
AACCon 2021.
Mm-hmm. The one with the agave.
Mezcal it up.
Now mezcal is a whole different beast, and there's a new one that just reached America. I did tequila quietly so I wouldn't rant. So there's a new one called Sotol, Sotol, and it's made with this spoonbill agave, and it's from Chihuahua, Mexico, and it's its own little regional version of these agave beverages. I haven't tried it yet, but I want to. And it was described to me recently as spicy, actually, like almost like chili pepper spicy a little bit, but still with the same kind of cooked agave vegetal flavoring that you get from good tequilas and mezcals. Now, mezcal is a whole different beast, though. It's almost always over 100 proof, and it's smoky and complicated and unforgiving and delicious.
Sounds like my ideal woman.
Yeah. Unforgiving. Yeah, no kidding.
This would be your ideal woman.
Complicated, unforgiving, and delicious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And goddamn sexy.
I think we see where that goes with C-Rack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've heard that. I'm not saying that my ideal woman wouldn't kill me in my sleep.
Fuck shit up. Yeah.
Well, that's mezcal, but that shit will kill you in your sleep.
Probably. Yeah. That's true. Maybe you need the mixed drink. Like, somebody should make a drink with mezcal and what's the black licorice one?
Sambuca?
Ouzo?
No.
You're thinking of the one that has wormwood in it, too.
Maybe.
Absinthe?
Yes, absinthe.
Absinthe. Yeah. Absinthe is, well, no, that's what I was thinking, but God damn it. Too drunk to remember shit. We used to do, like, we would, me and another grad student would, we would do shots of this shit to punish ourselves for not doing a Sambuca.
No. It's not that Chicago shit, is it?
Not the Jack. anyway. I'll remember it probably tomorrow, and I'll shout it out. Jägermeister.
Oh.
Oh, God, I hate Jägermeister. So we would, like, if we'd been really bad in the lab, we would assign each other Jägermeister shots, which eventually ended up being good. So.
Yeah, you only have to get a couple in for it to start tasting good.
That's true.
Oh, man, that used to be my go-to, though. I like Jägermeister still to this day.
Oh, no, I am not a black... I'm not that anise flavor fan.
It settles your stomach, though. It's actually a medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, coffee does that, too. So, and also ginger, so I don't need to take...
Who was it in the guild who was, like, doing crazy, like, exotic salt licorice?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Wasn't it someone in the guild?
Could have been.
God, it's good. Like, they were talking about, like, this uses salt from this place, and you're not supposed to eat more than a teaspoon a year, or you'll die of radiation. It's like, why are you eating? Well, it's delicious.
That sounds like a guild thing.
That does sound like a guild thing. I don't remember that specifically, though. All right, boys. Well, should we do this shit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm guessing I should recap.
Yeah,
go for it.
Okay. I've done my due diligence. I mean, I don't really prep this thing, although I have an idea, but it's just one. I have a couple ideas, but that's it. So, you know, we're gonna PBTA the hell out of this. But anyway, I do prep. I did make in the Rocket Channel, I made the sheet with all the characters in it. I'm very proud of that. Anyway, we spent 50 minutes on garbage time last time, 48 minutes, which is pretty good. We're at 43 now, which is pretty good also. We talked about advancements last time. We don't need to go over that. No, 56 minutes, because then we did advancements. Then we went back into Kickstarters. I keep track of all this. Then we picked up the session with Kenko. You know, they'd had that kind of falling out in the penultimate session, and so Kenko went looking for Maru. Maru was indulging a comfort, and they were cleaning homeroom, running with the rag as you do, back and forth. And so they had Kenko and Maru had a very nice conversation, fraught with sexual tension, of course. The end result is, though, even though Matt used our role-playing session to vent some of his frustrations with his wife, Maru still agreed to go with him to the hospital.
I'm pretty sure Matt wasn't the only one venting.
Oh, no, we all were. But Matt, like... very clearly, like, oh, I've had this conversation many times with my wife, and I've never gotten to say this, so I'm going to say this. And then he still apologized to Maru, which was awesome.
Got to.
You got to. You got to clean up your messes, man.
Hey, it's fine. It's good. I loved it. It was true. It was a good session. Then we switched over to Sayeko, walking toward the Asano compound. Yoshi came out following Sayeko. She snuck in. She first went to the guard, found out Asano Ayashi was not home because she was at school. So she kind of made apologies and backed up. She snuck into the house. broke into Asano Ayashi's room, found a diary, took the diary, broke some teapot kind of thing. So there was definitely going to be evidence of her being there. Snuck around the top floor, found the office of the head of the Asano clan, Ayashi-san's father. While she was in there, a guard came walking down the hall and burst into the room. She was unable to hide, so she smiled and fucking killed him, which was awesome. Blood everywhere. There was talk of juicing beets as the explanation for all the blood, which makes me LOL. Yoshi was shocked and astounded and saw the dark side of Sayako, but made some wisecracks. And so she kind of cleaned herself up, took the laptop from the office and the diary home and snuck out. Let's see. We zoom back scene-wise to Maru and Kenko at the hospital. So remember from the penultimate session, Kui Higashi, who was the former student, well, I guess she is still the student council president, former girlfriend of Kenko, had been found and had shown up at the hospital. And so Kenko had been told that she wanted to talk to him, and he'd asked, this is what the scene with Maru was. He wanted Maru to come along. But Akui Higashi only wanted to talk to Kenko, wouldn't talk to anyone else. Got to the hospital with Maru and walks in, and surprise, Takara-sama, the head of the Takara Foundation, was there and talked to both of them. First, Kenko talking about how they found Akui Higashi and how Kenko needed to talk to her alone and find out what's going on. And then Takara-sama went to the waiting room while Kenko talked to Akui Higashi, and they had a conversation between Maru and Takara-sama about... Maru was very kind of suspicious of the Takara Foundation, and Takara-sama was very dismissive of Maru's suspicions, but also invited Maru and Kenko to the Takara Foundation the next day to... discuss the help that perhaps they could provide, and suggested to Maru that they talk to Kenko about the Takara Foundation and whether or not they were working for good or evil. We go back to there was some hand holding also between Kenko and Maru. I don't want to overlook that totally. That was on the way to Akui Higashi's room. With Kenko in the room and Akui Higashi, she basically kind of asked Kenko why he hadn't rescued her. She had called him, she kind of tried to escape. And called him, and then she'd gotten kind of put in more more stringent. She was she related that she was in some sort of hospital. There were a bunch of beds. There were a bunch of other girls there. Or somehow she got out and managed to kind of. And then she was she didn't really talk about this. The theory would be she was wandering around, and the Takara Foundation picked her up and took her to the hospital. Okay, and then so that's kind of where we are with the Kenko and Maru story. And then we went back to Sayako. She headed home, read the diary from Asano Ayashi, found that through some kind of detailed analysis and her own intrinsic knowledge of how to be this way, that it was kind of a front. It was, you know, it did talk about her and, you know, kind of how she hated Asano Ayashi, hated her family and that kind of stuff. But there was no, you know, there was a startling lack of any kind of talk about things that Sayako knows that the Asano clan was in. So she thinks it might be a front that, you know, this diary is purposefully made to not have anything incriminating about the Asano clan and their activities, because that's something she would do. So she was good at picking that up. And... The only other piece I would add is that Takara-sama, when talking to Maru in the waiting room, very clearly implied that the Takara Foundation knew all about Maru and their special abilities. And the invite to the Takara Foundation for the next day was for both, was explicitly for both Maru and Kenko, and was around the, you know, there's something bad going on related to Akui Higashi. And they, you know, maybe it was kind of a, let's talk about strategy kind of thing. The scenes from next week slash end credits, we see Sayeko in a stationery shop in the scenes from next week. In the scenes from next week, we see Maru coming into school. We had seen this in the previous one, where like people were reacting very strongly, both girls and boys. This time we get some hint that she's cosplaying, or they're cosplaying. Next time for Kenko, he's in an alley. Kentaro, which is his leashed beast, is out in a Japanese lion form, and there's a whole lot of action. So Kentaro is in motion, claws out, and Kenko is in a kendo stance. Obviously, there's obviously some threat going on. And we had Yoshi removing himself in the end credits, you know, trying to remove the blood that splattered from the house guard, and finding a piece of a human ear and munching on it contentedly.
Yum.
So there you go. That was our recap.
God, that was a good session.
It was a good session. Yes. So we've got a lot to, I will mention too, I want to remind Sayeko that she had thought about for the laptop getting Maru's help to kind of look at that. And is there anything else I'm missing? I don't think so. Did anybody reach a XP threshold last time?
I don't think so. Not as of yet.
Jesse, you are not in roll 20 that I can see.
I just realized that.
Yeah, I do that too sometimes. As I'm I listened to the last session. I listened to it once, like kind of walking around and not taking notes, and then I listened to it again and kind of skipped around taking notes. I need to stop breathing. I'm tired of my fucking, like, I do a little breath thing at the end of every speech, so I'm going to stop breathing. So if I pass out, you know,
you guys should give me
my wife's phone number.
Anaerobic.
Yeah. I don't know how to. I guess I'm not a public, I'm not conscious enough of my mic'd sound to make it sound good.
Duck, you're doing an amazing job.
So we love it.
Yeah.
I know. Eventually I'll go, fuck it. I'm tired of this shit. So also, the very, very, very high amount of drunkenness may influence that.
Perfect.
Certainly possible.
All right. So where should we start? In terms of prep, I have an idea for something that might happen, but in terms of, so I think we probably want to, well, I think we might go to Sayeko first and see what she might do with the laptop.
Yeah. Like as in, this is like the previous night after.
Right. I think we start on that previous night.
Get back from the hospital.
Right. Maybe she, so Maru would see, she had, I think, I think Maru would, like, Sayeko was texting Maru, right, when she went, before she went over, maybe, and maybe you texted her after, Sayeko?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe, go ahead. Maybe I wait until the morning.
Okay. Well, do we want to start, maybe we start on the morning.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys would have been, unless you guys having pretty emotional, cathartic moment.
My celebrities had anything.
Yeah, did you guys have anything else? So, you know, you're at the hospital. Akui Higashi kind of imparted that stuff to you. I would assume as Kenko, do you guys want to do a scene with Kenko and Maru after Takara-sama leaves and after Kenko comes out of the room, or do we want to just narrate that?
Let's just narrate it.
Yeah, I'm with that. Because I don't think we had any immediate plans. So
no, I think it was Kenko's going to tell me what he learned. I'm going to ask him about the Takara Foundation.
Okay. And what do you guys decide to do tomorrow? Are you going to head to the Takara Foundation after school tomorrow? Going to skip school? What are you guys going to do tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know about skipping school. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
I was just kidding.
I'm okay with it, too.
Yeah, I think Maru would be...
Nope, not acceptable.
Yeah.
I'm already on thin ice with some of the teachers for not taking proper care of my club.
So I think after school. As soon as possible after school. As soon as the clubs are done, right?
Okay. Okay, and I'm sure that's what... I mean, Takara-sama would have expected you guys to go to school and then come over. So his invitation was after school, I would assume.
So maybe we start at the park?
Yeah, let's do our... And that's kind of why I put you guys on there in Roll 20. So
yeah,
let's start. It's the morning of... I even keep track of this shit. It is April 12th in the morning, which is a Friday. So Friday, let's put that in there.
We love you, Doug.
Nice.
Hey, man, I got to do something useful because you guys are giving me a free anime to listen to for free. You know, an anime to listen to for free. So, all right. So tell me what that looks like.
I think one of the things we've been doing is who gets there first. And I think Psycho might actually get there first.
Okay.
And she has I think it's a simple of course I can't think of the name of it, but like the omelet nigiri, which is the egg and rice with a little sweetness. She has two of those for you guys. And then a little kind of sweet bun.
Tamago.
Tamago, yes.
Yoshi comes creeping out of the, the thing is like, what do you have for me?
So, yeah. And I was going to say, and for Yoshi, I have some scrambled eggs and like a fried fish fillet.
Okay.
Nice. And
Yoshi goes, what? No beets?
I'm just scratching behind the ears. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? There's probably like a little dried blood under Psycho's fingernails. It's not super noticeable, but
only if you know where to look.
And she has the laptop in, I think, one of her father's old like valises. Like it's like a leather valise. Just sitting on her lap.
Okay. Kenko and Maru. Psycho shows up, you know, maybe you're 10 minutes early or something, right? So no one else is there except for Yoshi. Who shows
up? Smile on my face.
I'll show up next. I'm nervous about going to the Takara Foundation after
school. Sure. Well, I mean, I would think Maru would show up next, just in general, just you know, the on-timeness.
You can rest assured that Kenko's never going to be there before anyone else.
Sure. I got it.
So how much, Maru, did Psycho tell Maru about what she was doing last night?
I would assume nothing.
Okay. That's what I figured. So Maru shows up dressed like a so.
Oh, we got it. Do we have a picture?
Nice. We're about to.
Oh, I'm doing that little excited dance. I'm doing the Shaq excited dance. Oh, cosplay. Nice.
Nice.
Is that... Now, what character is that?
is Naoto Shiragane from Persona 4.
Okay. And is the character male or female, or is it unknown?
Character is female, but relatively...
butch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. For the listeners, well, Jesse told you who it was. Short hair.
Short blue hair. This is important.
Military-esque kind of outfit. Naval, almost. With a kind of beret-looking...
You're talking.
Yeah. Very nice. I'm surprised. Well, you know, okay. All right. Has Maru, like, how is this? Is she still meeting the uniform regulations of the Asano Academy?
Yes, because it is a blouse and slacks underneath.
Okay. All right. All right, yeah, you guys go. So, Maru, you show up. You see Sayako there with Yoshi, and then Yoshi and Sayako kind of jawing at each other as you show up in the park.
Sayako, Yoshi, how's it going?
Good morning. I'll hand over a bento box. Light breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much. You are an angel, Sayako. I don't know how you do it.
Sayako, do you react to how Maru looks at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. It's in your hands, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I guess while we're waiting for Keiko to arrive, I'll kind of awkwardly hold out the laptop there, the valise, and say, so last night I went to visit Aishi. Would I use an honorific? Yeah, Aishi-chan. She had this laptop in her room. And, sticky fingers. Oh, and I don't think I've told Maru. Yeah, so important piece. I heard that the Asanos have something to do with Higashi-san's disappearance. So I went to confront her, but she wasn't there. And instead, I said it was in her room. Let me come clean. It was actually in her father's office. But I couldn't get past I couldn't make it work.
Okay.
And I was wondering if maybe you could make it work. Don't set it on fire. But maybe you could kind of work some other magic on it.
Yeah, I can take a look. You know what? Let's see if I can unlock it right now, and then you can take a look while Kenko and I are at school.
Oh, good idea.
Let's see. This is a roll, I assume. Brain power.
Yeah, we can make it a roll. Are you gonna? Are you gonna? I mean, we might as well wait until you're actually gonna do it.
No, I'm gonna try to unlock it right now.
Okay.
While we're waiting for Kenko, because if I can unlock it, I can just hand it off to her, and she can get whatever files she wants, and I.
All right, let me.
You got a few more minutes before Kenko shows up.
Do we have Asano San's first name? Her dad?
We don't have that, actually. I don't think we've ever said it. So, you would know what it is, so come up with something.
Yeah. Getting there. close my name generator.
Yeah, I think brain power. I think a situation through would make sense, and you could ask the question of what do I need to do in order to blank, and you could say unlock the computer. So yeah, it would be brain power.
Asano's How about Subaru? Ah, nice.
Subaru, I like it.
Saburo.
Saburo. Oh, even better.
Okay. I am rolling brain power to try and unlock this thing.
Okay.
TD6 plus one is 8.
Barely. Yeah, well, with your plus one, I guess that's a little over the line. All right, so
can I aid?
You want to try and get a full success? Sure, why not? Directly assist or oppose, roll plus nothing. If you have a friendship with them, you add plus one to your roll, so you would get a plus one. Yeah, so roll 2d6 plus one.
Nice, 11.
Looks pretty good.
There you go. All right, so
I'm like, his birthday is this day. the dog's name is this.
Okay.
You know, his, that's right.
You guys used to be friends, right? And then there was some falling out.
And then now, she turned into a bitch. You might want to, like, the mechanic is interesting. On a hit, they either get plus two to the result of their next roll or plus one to a roll they've already made. So you can't change her 8 into a 10.
You can turn it into a 9.
But I think narratively it makes more sense. So let's just say you did this beforehand.
Yeah, and, I got lost in the fiction.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So you get a full success. So you could ask two questions if you want, Maru. And if you act on any of these answers, you get a plus one.
Well, no, here's the thing. I'm just handing off the laptop back to Saeko because I have no idea what I'm looking for.
I'll let Saeko answer the questions.
Yes, yeah. I'm giving ask the questions. Giving Saeko the questions.
From think a situation through or get answers from someone.
Or, well, you know, and it, you know.
So we have the laptop open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's change the password, first of all.
Okay. Yeah, that's no role. You
fictionally,
can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say, what is your new password?
Mm-hmm. It's Yoshi-kun.
Nice.
He can't read, right?
No. Well, yeah.
I guess what isn't adding up here, if anything?
Okay.
No.
Well, so I'm going to let you, what do you want? Like, what do you want to find on this laptop? I'm really.
That's why you don't have to prep. You just put it back on me.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's PBTA, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you like? We'll work through it together, and you know, Matt.
Well, hold on, I'll role play support. you said you thought the Asanos were involved in Higashi-san's.
Yeah, there's obviously that. Disappearance? Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Is there anything on there about that?
Right. So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So is
and
it
I'm
the
gonna,
same
I think of... I think it's perfectly like I think it's fine that you find something. But do we want to be specific about what that is?
I think it's probably an email.
Okay.
Because I don't know what kind of document would.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an email. Maybe it's an email. So, and you've got a full success. So I'm gonna say it was like maybe not the most obvious to find, but you kind of hunt it down that there's an email that. Sabaro. Did we say Sabaro?
Saburo.
Sabaro makes it in calzones.
Delicious.
Sabaro had sent, and the recipient is interestingly enough the is a company that you know perhaps you've heard of. You never really associated them with anything, and we'll have to come up with a name. But it talks about the samples and you know, making sure that they are properly prepared and that the experiment is going well. And
are you talking about the Yutani Corporation?
Sure. Yes. Without the Wayland. Yes. The Yutani, Yutani Corporation. Absolutely. Write it in the log. So be it. And so shall it be done. Yeah. Yutani Corp. The experiments, and you're able to kind of read between the lines, Sayeko, and realize that they are doing something hugely unethical, maybe with these, you know, and I know, well, you don't know about those things. Okay. But yeah, okay. That there is some kind of weird experiment going on. You know, Akui Higashi was taken. Maybe she was a part of this experiment. And that the Asano, you know, they're high up in political power. And basically, it's kind of a tit for tat. Hey, you know, the experiment's going well. The arrangements to, you know, make sure that this, business initiative goes through in the way that you wished. Prefecture head Asano or Asano-san are underway. So, you know, thanks for your support, and we will keep you updated on the progress. So very complicit in something very nefarious.
And who's in the most danger?
That is a fucking awesome question. that you can find from this laptop. Let me think.
Let's put the foot on the accelerator.
Yes. Let's say you find a reference to Maru. And how there are certain individuals that would be perfect for the next phase of the activity. And Maru, Kobayashi Maru is one of the names listed.
Yeah.
And it's because of, you also find out that there's some psychometric ability ratings that are very high for these lists of subjects. So what Sayeko wants to make of that, I will let Sayeko decide.
Is Sayeko on the list?
Sayeko's not on the list. At the bottom of the list is... they're all girls, though. They're all girls. Oops. Did I give something away? I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even know what the fuck Sex Maru is, so who knows?
We don't assume.
Yeah. We don't assume.
Someone else. One other character figured out what her sex was. Was it Yoshi? Like someone else knew. Like it feels. This feels like a probability.
Yeah, Yoshi question. Knows. Yoshi yeah, knows. Yoshi knows. Yeah, but he hasn't told us and won't.
I'm assuming Jesse knows, but I don't even know if that's true or not.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
That is hilarious.
I can tell you for sure that Kenko doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Fluid, baby.
Your GM. So you guys have a scene because for some reason this shit is going through me. I'll be right back.
I'll show Maru the laptop and say, I found your name on this list.
What? These are some of the other students at school.
What's psychometric mean?
Something to do with your brain, I think. I don't know. I've never heard it used like as a real thing. It's a, you know, it's in a lot of anime and stuff. that's worrying.
Do you go to 9,000? Is that what that means?
And actually, Kenko was telling me yesterday that Higashi-sama was telling him that she was being kept somewhere and they were doing things to her. So if this is that same thing, this is really bad. We're
not going to let you be taken.
Well, we need to tell someone about this.
Who's getting taken?
I'm just going to point the laptop at Kenko.
By the way, Kanko's dressed like the picture that I just dropped into already into the.
Now your hair.
Oh, sexy.
Well, that's roughly the color of his hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
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 He thought he might dress up. This is about as dressed up as Kanko gets.
Yeah, you don't need to dress up second sexiness, baby. It's all good. If you guys need a drink or a pee break, I don't know. For some reason, at some points, like when I don't eat and then I drink some alcohol, it just goes whoosh.
Yeah.
Well, if you missed it, Kanko just walked up right when Sayako told Maru that we weren't going to let them get taken. And so he walked up and said, "Who's getting taken?"
Exactly. How did Maru react to the idea that they would be taken? And did Sayako mention anything about the psychometric ability levels?
I asked what psychometric meant.
Nice.
And I said that's like something they use in anime to talk about like abilities.
That it's not a real thing because this is the real world.
Never seen it used in the real world.
Okay.
All right. You didn't read about it in Scientific American.
Yeah. All right. You guys don't need me. Keep going.
So, Kenko, you said that you think the Takaras are working to stop whatever this is. How sure of that are you, Kenko?
Sorry, tell me that again.
You told me that that you think the Takaras are working to stop whatever happened to Higashi-sama.
Oh yes. No, I know for a fact they are. Chan is the most formal honorific. Mm-hmm.
No.
Sama.
Okay. Sama. I think from here on, I talked about this last episode. I think from here on, I'm going to start calling him sensei.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like we said, as long as you perceive that he's teaching you, and that's not, I don't think that's unfounded, you can certainly call him sensei. And that's a fine honorific, pretty close to Sama.
Takaro sensei, he's shown me, and he showed me the histories. He showed me what they've worked on. He told me that my father was part of the group. I don't know exactly what it means, but I believe him. I think they're fighting whatever this is, and I think whatever this is evil.
Did your father summon fish women too?
Look, he doesn't have to be a fish woman every time.
Oh, okay.
So Psycho's pointing the laptop at Kanko, but seeing him walk up over the, like on camera, you see Psycho's eyebrow go up. She didn't bat an eye at Maru, but seeing Kanko dressed up, just like the right eyebrow goes.
Nice.
So Kanko and I were invited over to the Takara compound after school to discuss what we can do to help.
And they're good guys,
right? I think you should come with us, Sayako. I think if you got this laptop, I mean,
I
don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you got it without getting caught. That's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could use your skills.
Yeah, Sayako, you should definitely come.
I'm sneaky.
Obviously.
I could do that. Do you want to meet back up here after school?
Why don't you meet us at school? I think we can probably get a ride with the burgundy haired bimbo.
Besides, you said you were sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just not supposed to go into the school. You can.
I won't
be there.
Okay. I'll fill my day.
Taking us to the map.
Mm-hmm.
So to the map.
Here's the school. Here's the park. Here's the Terakawa Estate.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll meet you. I'll meet you after school.
Okay. Let's see.
Oh, and I'll shove the bento box at Kinko.
Mm.
Oh.
Breakfast.
Yeah, huge grin. Pops it open and starts to eat.
Yeah, I like the huge grin I see as a dichotomy with the super cool laid back outfit, which is like, I don't care. And then he gets food and he's like, oh.
Haven't you already had two breakfasts, Kenko?
This machine doesn't fuel itself.
Maru. Strong boy. Perhaps you've noticed.
Emphasis on the boy right now.
I'm too busy eating to even like rise to the bait.
Yoshi's got a snort at this point.
Okay. Very nice. Well, we better get going or we're going to be late.
Okay. So Kenko and Maru head to
school. Kenko rolls his eyes and follows.
Okay. And Sayako, are you going to head home?
I have a couple hours to fill, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can head home.
Okay.
I have something I want to do in the meantime, but...
Okay. Do you want to do that first? Or, like, what are you going to do? So let's follow Sayako for a little bit. What's Sayako?
Yeah, I'm trying to place it, and I think, yeah, maybe what she does is she kind of wanders.
Okay.
And, actually, she stays at the park. She maybe circles back to the park just to kill some time until kids are supposed to be off. Like, I don't want to see, you know, schoolmates or anything. So, right. You know, I wait until after the first bell rings. Mm-hmm. And then I'm wandering around. And then I think, you know, like random vending machines, I'll like try to pop them open and get the bills out.
Okay. Do you think Yoshi's with you? Or do you think Yoshi?
Yeah, Yoshi's definitely with me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll, you know, use some of the bills to get, you know, like a sour soda. I'll get him some of like the fish flavored rice crackers. Mm-hmm. Just kind of having a nice, you know, Yoshi day. Popping open vending machines and grab money.
Do you eventually head back home, hang out in your room for a while, or do you just do this?
Okay. So that's what I'm thinking. I have a, you know, it's probably, I don't know, whatever, you know, like 1,000 yen. Is that like $100?
$10,000 yen.
10,000 yen?
Yeah, 1,000 yen would be $10. You divide it by 100.
So, when I get to about 10,000 yen, stuff it in my
100 bucks
in my pack. Nice. And I'm going to spend it on something on my way back to school. But okay. I'll go home, kind of do the dishes, kick my feet up, ignore.
All right. Your mom has a little, you know, you're doing the dishes and you kind of hear a weird sound. And your mom has a traditional display, and you hear kind of a creak. And as your head jerks to the side, you look at it, and it's always kind of freaked you out.
Is it like a shrine? Oh, Jesus Christ! How dare you?
It's like you saw movement in your mom's traditional Japanese doll display.
This is
it's like
literally
one of the heads
turns. The stuff of nightmares.
One of the heads turns. And do you do anything?
I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'm assuming Yoshi's not here.
Yeah, maybe he's off. Maybe Yoshi peeled off. Yeah, yeah, at some point. Yeah, when you were, carousing. When you went into your house. Yeah, he's out carousing. You know, you kind of you're curious. You walk up closer and it definitely looks like there's kind of a wet trail coming from one of the doll's eyes, like it's been crying. I would say even beyond Jason, the role player, Sayako, like this may even be enough to freak Sayako out. Like, what the hell? Anyway, okay.
I'm gonna light some incense on that. Is it like a shrine? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like, well, she has like, you know, there's a traditional Japanese doll display that they'll put up like once a year. Okay. And I don't know if it's probably not actually the right time for that. But your mom likes Japanese, these traditional dolls. So mm-hmm. she has kind of a display that she kind of keeps up. And you swear it doesn't look exactly the same as it did. And, you know, and it looks like one of these dolls has been crying. So it's just a little weird, just a little freaky.
A little bit. I open my heart to you, and this is how you betray me.
Sorry. I can't resist. I'm a weak GM.
Oh, it's all for the sake of the fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So Psycho is freaked out. She'll kind of continue doing the dishes, but you know, like any little thing,
she's very
that catches jumpy. Her eye. It's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. All right, Maru and Kenko, it's kind of a normal school day. Anything, you know, Crystal Sensei has you do homeroom. Maru will have everyone stand at bow. Is there anything you want to see during the day at school? We can just zoom through. Or if there's something you think might happen, we can do that.
I think things are kind of back to more a little bit of the normal between Kenko and Maru.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think the sexual tension has backed off pretty significantly. I don't know, it's probably with effort on both their parts.
Okay.
Not saying it's not coming back.
Right. No, I think that's fine.
It comes back a little when Crystal Sensei comments on Maru's hair color change.
Oh, so what is that comment? How does that little scene go?
Crystal Sensei says, "Oh, I always love how you Japanese color your hair so brightly."
What
made you pick blue, Maru? Maru says, "Well, I just wanted to make sure that someone could differentiate between red and blue."
I love it. Oh, fucking taking XP for that. That's perfect. And speaking of the devil, so it's after school, and Fuka-chan comes up. Oh, I want let's do this. I want to do this. So you're getting ready, you know, maybe you see Fuka-chan and you're about to like Kenko and Maru, you know, and just she's in the Google Doc. I should put her in a but you remember what she's looked like, very busty.
Yes.
I don't often go for busty anime girls, but if I did, it would be this one.
They would be the daughter of the literal devil.
Yes. The red hair. I think the red hair is what does it. Also, actually, yeah, that the what is it? High school DXD.
High school DXD.
Yeah. Jesus. She's a very interesting character. Anyway, so you're maybe it's after class and you see her kind of down the hall, and you know she kind of her eyes kind of alight when she sees Kenko, and you know she's at the other end of the hall, and Maru, you're standing next to Kenko, but out from one of the side doors in between you comes Suntory Sensei. And we're going to use the obligation roll.
Ooh.
Fuck. Yes.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? So there's a baseline obligation you have for being president of the calligraphy club. And then we added one to it last time, I believe.
Yes, we did.
I can basically force you to have a public breakdown, I believe. If your obligation gets 4 or higher. Do you remember what your obligation was for being in the club? Let's see. Clubs for nerds. Sports clubs.
Let's see.
I'm thinking, here we go. Class rep. Oh, you're class rep also.
Yes.
Oh, actually, that gives you a +1 when you try and deal stuff with teachers and stuff. This obligation rule, by the way, is if you have a success, it's bad. It basically means he gets to pull on your obligation.
Right.
I may have to look at the old rules. I don't know if it's in here. I know where it is in the old rules.
Let's see.
The only one that kind of thought the old rules were better.
There, I think, you know, the new rules are not universally better. I agree.
I think it's shitty they took the Jason's
Smiler out.
Character out. Yeah, they took the Smiler out.
Well, like,
I guess it was just too psycho.
After last session, you can understand. Like, some groups
that's why.
Would totally freak out at that.
Yeah.
Our group's like, sweet, way to play your character.
Well, yeah, but I mean, don't take it out of the system. I mean, it's group by group should be able to police themselves. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can make our own system, right?
So. Yeah. I love the way Jason uses
Matt, what? How do you look at any part of what's going on in the world right now and think people can definitely pick and choose which things?
Damn it, Jesse. I want to control it in my RPGs. I want to live in a fictional world in my RPGs, man.
Yeah. If you ever like, I follow the author of this on Twitter, and he is very, and you know, to be fair, he's out in the public, right? So, and a lot of people, like, you're going to get a very kind of interesting cross section of people in this. I'm just going to say, Jesse, it feels like two is the right answer. So I think you're rolling with a plus three. Okay, the Go Home Club, here it is. I found it. Obligation minus one. Types of club, music and performance clubs, arts and cultural clubs. Well, maybe it's one. Calligraphy club is probably, let's say with the obligation last time, your club is a baseline one. So you're a plus, you're doing a plus two on this roll.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah.
I love mechanics.
No, the obligation cost of at least plus one.
Yeah. So we added one two. For, you know, you blowing off, you know, to go to the hospital with Kenko yesterday.
Yep.
So.
Yep. No, that was.
So, it, you know, it kind of mounts up until you basically break down.
Okay, here we go.
Let's see. Can we get a crappy roll?
I'm going to close this doll window.
Please do. I felt a little dirty doing it, but then I was on yokai.com or whatever the fuck site Matt found, and like,
love that site.
Oops, I gave too much away. Anyway, interesting fact that scenes of extreme violence and blood can be used as trigger points for yokai. Just saying, not that I'll ever be involved in anything like that.
Uh-huh. Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Okay.
All right. Give it to me. Oh, okay. So it's an eight. Double your obligations on a hit. Something in your life, a club, your other life, your grades, friends and family, hasn't been adequately tended to. I think we know what the answer is. It's the club.
Oh, yeah.
Club.
It's the club.
On 7 to 9, it's a mild lapse, and you get to choose what gets the short end of the stick. On a 10+, the lead writer chooses, and the consequences are serious. Ooh. So it's up to you. So Suntory, the way I see this is Suntory is like, Maru-chan, we missed you in Calligraphy Club yesterday. And I even Suntory wrote this fucker's name.
I am so sorry about that. I have another obligation outside of school now, and I'm afraid I don't have time to be the president of the club anymore.
Ooh, interesting.
Suntory Sensei, I think, is going to look crestfallen. This is an interesting development.
I still plan on participating, but I just don't have time to.
Kobe,
the time that I should devote to it.
But so, in you agreed to be president. This is a serious lapse, Kobayashi-san. Oh. I think what's going to happen is Suntory Sensei is going to say, he's going to say, well, okay, so you're once again, Kobayashi-san, you're going to miss Calligraphy Club again today, I take it. And he's much more formal and serious. He's normally very kind of jovial with you. You can sense the disappointment and the sadness.
Yeah.
And the very, but of course he's not saying anything. You can just sense his total disappointment in you. He's going to say, I would like to see you tomorrow before homeroom in the teacher's lounge.
Yes, on today, Sensei.
Okay. So we've got that going on. is Kenko, you heard all this. Do you react in any way?
I just kind of look at Maru out of the corner of my eye. All right.
Kenko, Kenko, there's a sense that like there's a foreign language being spoken here, like Kenko, mm-hmm. like being nice to teachers and you're trying to be the model student is just not interesting. I like it. All right.
I'm super surprised inside, not outwardly. I'm controlling it.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
She's
still wearing
that hair stepping away. Yeah.
Yeah. Is your hair kind of, you got a little product in your hair?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know, Kenko, that you are more important than the Calligraphy Club.
Yeah.
Suntory
Sensei,
clearly.
Suntory Sensei, like his back is hunched, and you can tell he kind of walks away slowly. But before he even disappears around the corner, Fuka-chan comes up, and she looks Kenko from up and down from head to toe, head to toe, and comes up and like kind of squeezes his arm and says, Kenko, what's the Kenko senpai? Wow.
So I,
or Kenko?
I take my jacket off and kind of hang it over my shoulder with my with my finger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whatever are you talking about?
Maru, what's going on? What's going on in your face right now?
So my eyes like start glowing red a little bit. Totally not on purpose. Right. And I'm pretty sure Kenko's jacket catches on fire.
Nice. Nice.
Begins to smolder at least.
Yeah, at least.
It begins to smolder a little bit. Kenko, you see this and you surreptitiously kind of lean against the wall and kind of smother the fire out.
That's right. Perfect. And I give a little chuckle under my breath.
Yeah. And so Fuka-chan continues to hold on to your upper arm and kind of strokes it up and down. It's like, my father said that you, Kenko-senpai, and then she'll languidly turn to Maru-san and say, oh, and you, Maru-senpai, we're going to come over to the compound this afternoon. And offered for you guys to catch a ride with me on the way home. Shall we head out?
I believe we shall. And I just kind of toss a look over my shoulder at Maru.
That's very kind of you, Fuka-chan.
she's already turned and is walking away with her hand on Kenko's arm.
God damn it.
Kenko slips so that her hand is in around his, you know how people link elbows.
Oh, I love it. Oh, so good. All right, so let's pause there. Saiko, it's getting about time, you know, school's going to be out. What do you do?
Keeping an eye on that fucking doll. Making a mental note. I'm going to stop by the stationery store on my way back to school.
Very nice. Very nice.
I am going to get a decent journal for myself, along with a Zebra Sakura blue black ballpoint pen.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I don't feel guilty about the dolls anymore.
He's playing the type.
And I'm going to buy for Maru. They have these fountain pens that look like they're made of bamboo. They're like ebonite, hand carved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
And it's, but I get it, and it's a, I had seen it in the shop before, but it's a blue that almost perfectly matches Maru's blue hair color.
Oh, nice!
So it's like a rich blue. And I pay a little bit extra for the Fude nib.
Yeah, but you just got all that money from
right. That's why I got the money, because I knew I needed to get that.
Nice. Taking XP for story continuity.
And I'll have them wrap up the pen, ink it up, and wrap it up for.
Yeah, I'm also going to give Kenko an XP for just being a total male jackass. I love it. Okay, as you're exiting the stationery store, you hear kind of a sound like leaves rustling off to your right, and you turn quickly, and there's nothing there. Okay. All right. And then, so you've left enough time, I guess. What's your plan? Are you going to wait outside of school, or what's your plan?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
if they walk out with homegirl, I'm going to put the pen in my bag.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They all walk out. When you're outside the school, you know, you get there maybe a couple minutes early. Yeah. And then, you know, so students start kind of filtering out. After the final bell, and you know, it pretty soon, maybe 10 minutes after the final bell, you see Kenko with his you know, slick back hair and jacket, and there's Fuka-chan kind of fawning all over him, and then fuming behind them with perhaps actual steam coming off of parts of them is Maru. And they come walking out, and at this time, you know, you probably already noticed that there's a large, the Asano Academy has many kind of high profile, but you notice there's an especially dark black large limo waiting outside the school also, and Fuka heads toward it, leading Kenko. And what do you do, Psycho? Do you?
I'll just try to catch Maru's eye.
I mean, Maru's looking for Sayako because they need
Maru,
a life.
Yeah, you definitely see Sayako. You see her kind of stuff something in her bag, and she sees you guys. What do you? Does Maru say anything or wave to Sayako?
Sayako, yeah, I wave. Sayako, over here.
Okay,
we'll jog over.
Okay. Fuka-chan looks up like. Sayaka sensei, why are you here? I thought you were suspended.
That's why I wasn't at school.
Sayako found some interesting information about the Aoshis that I thought your father might be interested in.
Yeah, the Asanos. Asano Aoshi right. Is the daughter, yeah.
Right.
Asano is the family name, yeah. Okay. Fuka-chan will like, you know, and kind of flip her hair.
Are we all gonna fit in that car?
Oh yeah, she laughs like, we could, you know, I could fit 10 more people in this car, you little bitch. She doesn't say that, but you know, that's the attitude.
That's the look. Yeah,
that's the look she gets. She's like, come on, Kenko, the best seats are in the back row. And she Psycho pulls Kenko around. In after him. Does Kenko object in any way?
None whatsoever. In fact, he looks over his shoulder and smiles at
And at this point, Rude. Like she's gone from like just kind of like, you know, like initially it was kind of the hand on your bicep and kind of grasping your bicep. Now it's the full like her breasts are pressed up against your arm.
And Keiko just leans into it. I mean, nothing's ever going to come of it. He just leans into the whole thing and just he thinks it's just.
Yeah, I mean, these are funny. These are some really fucking nice breasts. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if just... we go Kenko X Maru, you're not going to see these breasts for many, many, many years, if ever. These are some really firm melon shit.
All right.
He won't miss them when they're gone, but he's certainly nice. Going to enjoy them while they're here.
Oh, sure.
That's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, so Kenko, so Sayako and Maru, so the door's still open to this large black limousine.
Kenko just thinks this is the funniest shit ever.
I know. I'm just feeding it. I'm giving you the rope to hang yourself.
That's funny.
Any you guys would get in, I imagine? Any snorting or hair flipping or anything you want to detail? You enter the limo, it's a big kind of seating area. Fuka-chan and Kenko are in the back seat, and she is way, way too close to him, rubbing her breasts all over his arm.
I'm gonna pull Sayako to like the front seats right behind the driver.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so there's a good probably 8 feet between you guys. Maybe there's like there's two kind of captain's chairs in between the front and the back. So, you know, you're good and separate. You know, and there's a little TV, there's a sound system, there's all kinds of shit if you want to goof around with. And Kenko and Fuka are just and she is like all the fuck over him. Sayako and Maru, what are you doing?
I'm gonna ask for a soda.
Okay. Yeah, the driver. The driver. You can like the divider comes down and he'll kind of point respectfully like, oh yes, there are here there's the bar and there's actually like a little soda dispenser and has little buttons on it and there's the crystal glasses and the ice dispenser. So he kind of shows Maru where all the stuff is. But it is, he doesn't come back there. It's all kind of help yourself. Mm-hmm.
Well, Fuka, it looks like your driver at least knows what hospitality is.
What? Did someone call my name? Kenko. Silly boy.
Don't worry about her. And I say her intentionally.
Nice. All right, so the divider goes back up, and you hear the driver on the in-car intercom say, "We're heading home now, Fuka-san." And she presses the little button on the intercom. She goes, "Hi," and the car starts up and heads off. So after a short drive, you end up at the Tarakawa Estate, which we have pictures for.
Oh, I'm gonna give Maru the fountain pen.
Nice.
Oh, that's a good distraction.
Yeah. Okay. As they get kind of gushy, I bought you something today while I was out.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, nice.
It's fantastic. It even matches my hair. That's amazing. Thank you, sir.
That was the inspiration.
Oh.
Thanks for being such a good friend, Maru.
Anytime.
Sayako. I hope you find it useful.
Okay. But please let me know next time you're gonna go sneaking around somewhere. I wanna keep I wanna make sure you're safe.
I can take care of myself.
Okay. All right, so you show up at the Tarakawa Estate. Fuka will, the driver comes and opens the door. It's closer to where Fuka and Kenko are. So she kind of pulls him out of the car, giggling, and kind of runs forward to the entranceway. Maru and Sayako, I would assume you follow along. Maybe
yeah,
disgusted distance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whisper. At this point, Kenko kind of shrugs her off a little bit and straightens himself up, puts his jacket on, and gets a bit more serious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She, Fuka looks at you and her eyes, like, she giggles and then her eyes kind of flash a little bit. Like, you've seen this side of her before. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she kind of acts like a ditz, but she might not really be. And she goes, oh, a little nervous about seeing Daddy again, are we?
I just want to be ready.
She'll give you kind of a chin wag and she'll kind of drop the giggling, fawning breast, pressing against act and walk up to the entrance gate and, say, greetings, you know, guard-san. We're here and I believe my father is expecting, well, and she'll look at Sayako and then kind of, with like a dismissive gaze, I believe my father is expecting some of us. And the guard will nod and, you know, you know, they open the door and she kind of leads you guys in. So I would say you guys probably head into the main garden. So it's, you know, it's 4:30 in the afternoon-ish. You don't quite have the full evening light, but it's getting on to that. So, you know, it's not the brightest sunlight of the day. The garden is very peaceful. And Fuka-chan leads, you know, she kind of leads the way and sitting there in kind of a seating area in the garden is Tarakawa-sama. And she bows to him and says, Father, here are the, here is Kenko, Kenko-kun and Maru, or Kenko-senpai and Maru-senpai. And they decided to bring Sayako-senpai along as well. Will you require my services? And Tarakawa-sama kind of looks at his daughter for a second and says, no, you may leave us, my daughter. You see, and Kenko, you only see her eyes kind of flash a little bit like, God damn it, you old fucker. And and I'm translating the Japanese, you know, very mild things into more kind of Western emotions. But, you know, she resents being sent away, but she's sent away. So it's just the four of you. And Tarakawa-sama is in traditional garb sitting in the garden. And he just kind of sits there in silence.
Kenko bows deep. Mm-hmm. And while bowed, says, Takara-sensei, we have questions.
And with your respectful greeting, Takara-sama will kind of turn and look at you. And his eyes, you can tell, they soften a little bit. He's like, ah, Kenko-kun. Thank you for coming. I am. Thank you for your greeting. I am surprised. I believe I had only invited yourself and Maru-san today. I'm curious as to why we have someone else with us.
I believe Sayako has found some information that is relevant to.
And he's going to cut Maru off. He's going to look at Kenko and say, does this one speak for you, Kenko? And I'm
Sensei,
trying to piss Maru off.
No, no, they do not. Sayako may have information that the Foundation will find interesting and might.
What's going on Maru's face right now? Just want to know.
Like a mix of fury and hurt.
Okay. Any attempt to restrain it, or is she, are they?
They are attempting to restrain themselves and sort of taking a step closer to Sayako for.
Okay, Sayako, are you any reaction at all? I can imagine, but I want you to say
no. Okay. Just a nice light smile.
Of course, yes, very, very
motherfucker,
perfect.
I could cut you.
Yes,
Oh, Psycho, you're so unflappable.
Takara-sama looks at Kenko and says, very well. We will listen to what she has to say.
And I'll just pull out the laptop okay. and open it up and hand it to him without saying anything.
Okay. Takara-sama, like, what is it? Do you have, like, the email up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Maybe you can do something useful with this.
Are you going to say that?
Yeah.
His eyes narrow. That's, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And he'll look at he'll kind of tilt his head. His eyes narrow and he tilts his head, like reassessing Sayako. And he gives a little kind of nod to himself I could make you roll for this, but I think Sayako would see it. And he's like, ah, yes. I see the Matsumoto clan is as they ever were. And a slight smile crosses his face. So this is interesting.
There's anger in Psycho's eyes now. It's a fuck you smile more than a
his smirk / grin gets a little bit wider when he realizes he's actually triggered Psycho. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, not as calm as you might expect, and he makes a motion with his hand, and your safety razor comes out of your pocket and kind of floats in the air, and all of a sudden it kind of flies across the garden and plants itself into one of the wooden beams on the side. And
I'm gonna take a step back.
And his eyes glitter, and he's like, I know the smiles of the Matsumoto clan conceal much danger, but
Mara's gonna yell out, like, how dare you start throwing razors around my friend?
I'll just hold Maru's hand.
Yeah, and he's gonna basically ignore Maru, and he's still talking to Sayako. He's gonna be like, I understand how your family works, and I know your danger, but don't underestimate me, little girl.
I think the unflappable smile goes back.
Okay. And he'll nod, and it's like, as long as we understand each other, and he'll turn back to the laptop.
Yeah, Mara's a bit taken aback by, like, Sayako just sort of taking that and not,
not
doing anything.
He pulled something out of my pocket.
I mean, and the feeling, do. I mean, Sayako should be feeling like she's out of her fucking league, right?
Yes, even if that is exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Maru.
But the fact that she's not like screaming at this guy and reacting would be a shock to Maru, I think, and Kenko.
Yeah, like Maru is sure that the head of the Takara clan just planted a razor on their friend, and they're like, "What's going on? Why is Sayako not upset about that?"
All right, lean into
Sayako
that.
Sayako has stuff she doesn't want her friends to know, so I'm going to not let you know. If this guy's going to stop talking, I'm going to let him.
He turns back to the laptop and he's like, this is very interesting. And the Matsuhudo,
hold on, was Fuka's name on there?
Fuka's gone.
No, is her name
on the list
with
good
Maru's
question
name?
Is it? Mm-hmm. I have an answer, but you guys tell me what you think.
I vote yes.
I think definitely yes.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why Maru thought about
his
it.
Reaction is very muted. Too much ethanol?
Impossible. Preposterous.
It's muted. Is it muted or mooted? It's muted.
I think it's muted.
For now.
I'm rolling. Mutated. I'm leaning into it. I'm leaning in. It's mutated, yeah. No, his reaction is very, it's not very big, but he does kind of nod a couple times. It's like, this corroborates some other information we had. Yes. You actually bring us useful information, Matsumoto-san. Perhaps one day, your vengeance will be slaked, because yeah, obviously the Asanos are neck deep in this evil.
I think, and this will probably shock Maru, but I think Saiko bows.
Nice. He's like, yes. I think perhaps we may not share the same methods, but it appears we have a common enemy. So welcome, Matsumoto-san, to our discussion of what's going on and the evil that we must fight.
Kenko looks at
Maru's hand again.
Kenko looks at her very differently. Like, he looks at her with a certain amount of additional respect and interest. In a way he's never looked at her probably before.
All right. Yeah. So Takara-sama kind of looks at Maru and Kenko and says, very well. I think we've established that everyone here has a reason to be here. So let's get down to brass tacks, or whatever the Japanese equivalent of that is. So we've come here to discuss, there apparently are some machinations. So the disappearance of your student council president and former girlfriend was under very suspicious circumstances. And apparently there may be others, there are other girls missing from other prefectures from, maybe Kenko. I'm just going to assume that at some point you kind of told him what Kui Higashi had told you. Right. I mean, you see him, yep, as your teacher. So, maybe you impart that to him. So he gets the debrief. So you guys are in this discussion.
I think currently I trust him completely.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would give him the full.
He's done full so far. He's done nothing. Not that he ever would betray that trust.
Right. But it's a bigger game than what I understand. Right. So, I mean, trust and betrayal are probably small things compared to what he's dealing with.
Sure. That seems reasonable. He's like, Kobayashi-san, you are at risk. Does Kobayashi-san know she's on this list? She doesn't.
Yeah, well, because Saiko showed her the list.
Okay, yeah. So Kobayashi-san, it appears, from what the Takara Foundation can discern, that, you have Kenko and Kobayashi-san, or Soga-kun, or Soga-san and Kobayashi-san. I guess he's been calling you Kenko-kun, so he'd continue to call you Kenko-kun. You have special abilities. And does Saiko know?
About,
so this will be news.
She knows about Kenko's ability, right? You've seen that once.
Oh yeah, down in the basement.
Basement.
Yeah, she saw Kentaro come out in the basement. Yeah,
but you didn't know Maru had special abilities. So maybe
Saiko saw it when we confronted the fake teacher.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So Saiko's
and you have Yoshi. A
talking cat. Yeah. So
yeah,
I think the only thing that's still secret is Saiko's situation.
Right.
Well, and Takara doesn't know about Yoshi.
That's right.
Yeah. Where is Yoshi in all this? I think Yoshi would have probably tailed along. Maybe he's kind of prowling around.
Yeah, jumped up on the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw this out there, though. So I think Takara and Yoshi know each other.
I like it.
Hell yeah.
I like it. But right. So you guys don't know that yet, though.
No, right? we don't know that.
Perfect. That's perfect.
I do like it. We had talked about, you know, or even Takara knows Yoshi, but Yoshi doesn't remember Takara.
Right. Like, there's more going on, and Yoshi's part of it all, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. We're going to have a Yoshi only episode at some point, right? Where he is the ancient Yoda or something. Shit like that. Yes. I love it. But yeah, so Yoshi, I don't know how he would have gotten there, but maybe he kind of shows up, and every once in a while you can see him kind of prowling around.
How does he get anywhere, right?
Yeah.
He's a magic cat.
Well, I mean, he walks around a lot. I don't know. Gersh seemed to be opposed to him having like explicit magic powers, but
doesn't mean you can't hail a cab.
Maybe he snuck in. He might have snuck into the limo, but he's there. He's in the garden, but he's just not showing himself. So
I like it.
I like that. I like that pull on Takara and Yoshi. What the fuck was I talking about? Somebody help me. Where were we? We were talking about the plot and
who knows what powers.
Oh yeah, the powers. So so there apparently it appears the Asano family and other interests are somehow kidnapping people with special powers like yourself, Kenko, and Kobayashi-san. And we haven't quite figured out what they're doing, but it is certainly something that we feel is not good. I was struggling for something
to get eloquent. Too specific.
Perfect.
I was struggling for something eloquent and ended up with not good. I will not blame the Everclear. I think that's just my lack of vocabulary. And we could use your help. So the Takara Foundation has many agents. Many of our agents are mundane, and they've been stymied every time. We do have information, but I feel that if we sent folks with non-mundane abilities to try and penetrate, and here's where you guys get the information. We believe that this is all as was revealed, as you guys found on the laptop. We believe the Yutani Corporation is, and I love Yutani Corporation, Jesse, that's fucking awesome. The Yutani Corporation is deeply, deeply involved in this. They have a factory across town. If you folks would be willing, I think we would be, it would be useful to the Takara Foundation if we could use you on a mission to understand what the Yutani Corporation is doing with these girls and where they're being kept. And many of their, all of our mundane agents have been turned away. But we would be, if you would be willing to help one of our penetration missions, certainly there would be a lot in it for you. For example, I know both Kenko and Kobayashi-san, Kenko-kun and Kobayashi-san could benefit from, the training that our foundation has to offer. We could certainly provide that up front.
Well, and Kenko's always up for a penetration mission.
Of course. And does Marua actually say that? Because that would be awesome.
Oh, yes.
Kakara will he'll like expel a breath like he's trying not to laugh, and he's like
Psycho goes,
yeah. And Takara kind of like, there's kind of another ghosted half smile, like, and Maru, you get the sense that like, I kind of like this one. This one's got spirit.
Kenko is like a little bit offended or a little bit incensed that something like this would be said in front of his teacher this.
I mean, he's offended. It's like, he's about a minute behind everybody else. So
yeah.
And, let's see. He'll turn to Sayako and say, Matsumoto-san, I have little to offer you other than the chance, which I think may be the only incentive I need, but the chance to turn the Asano clan into ash, which I promise, if we have the information to do so, we will use. So I think the three of you would be a valuable asset to the Takara Foundation if you would be willing to help us.
You said you're mundane operatives. Does Psycho, do you have powers you haven't told us about? I mean, if you don't want to tell us, that's okay, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around what's going on. Okay, you don't have to tell me.
Is Jason still here, or is he just
sorry? I stepped away, but
super
I
good.
You okay? So Sayaka would just the stony silence. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, I mean, Maru is definitely not the dullest knife in the drawer. So you've picked up on a lot of information about Sayaka that you mm-hmm. have not.
Sayaka, you are you okay coming with us on this kind of mission?
He said there's plenty of other mundanes going, so.
Yes, of course.
I trust the two of you.
Yes. He'll look at Kenko and Maru and turn to Sayako and say, yes, he'll walk over to the wood column where the safety razor is, and he'll pull it out and he'll kind of flip it around and kind of look at it. And he's like, perhaps you friends don't know each other as well as you think you do.
I'm going to glare at him.
Say, what do you say, Jason?
I'm going to glare at him.
he's just going to smile slightly. And he'll close the safety razor and bring it over, and he'll give a kind of ironic bow to Sayako as he hands it back to her.
I'll accept it and flip it open and kind of shave some of the hair off my arm, make sure mm-hmm. it's still decently
sharp. Make sure it's
still sharp.
Yeah. Okay. And he'll say, yes, Kobayashi-san, I believe your friend Matsumoto-san would be able to hold her own on this mission. I believe she might have some talents that could help.
I'll be okay, Mark.
Okay, I mean, I know you're a badass bitch, but this might be another level.
Is Kenko gonna react in any way?
Kenko is really appraising Sayako in a different way, right? So Kenko is kind of he's a little bit excited to have her on the team, like the team mm-hmm. team. Mm-hmm. And so he's starting to feel a little camaraderie there and a little bit of protectiveness, but he doesn't do anything.
Okay. And I mean, you've basically, so I want to put this out there that Takara-sama has basically asked you all if you would be willing. I feel like he's gotten an assent from Sayako, basically the unwritten, you know, she's taken the safety razor back. Mm-hmm. But he's still waiting on an answer from the other two of you. And you can kind of, he kind of looks at you and raises his eyebrows a little bit.
Mara's going to step in first and say, well, if it stops other girls from getting kidnapped, I'm in.
And Takara-sama will give you a fractional bow. And he'll turn and look at Kenko. Well, Kenko-kun, do you honor your father's memory? Do you work with the Takara Foundation again?
So Kenko bows deep.
The Soga clan and the Takara clan ride together once more.
Kenko bows deeply again and says, "Sensei, you know that I will honor my father's memory, and you know that I will honor our family's commitments to one another. And I welcome."
And this actually cracks a smile on his face as you're saying this. Keep going. Sorry.
and I welcome the help of the Matsumoto clan.
Yes. I sense the friendship of Matsumoto-san is true, although the still waters run deep, as they say.
I'm going to lean over to Saiko and say, is your family like ninjas or something?
Love it. Does Saiko even react?
I think my smile gets bigger. Like, it's almost a laugh.
Okay. Nice. Nice. So Takara-sama will kind of humph to himself, and he'll say, "Very well. I will escort you to your quarters. You are staying on the Takara Foundation for the indeterminate future. We have a little bit of training to do, and then and then we will give you your orders. You may call those you need to call, but for now, you will do as my instructors deem fit."
And, training montage.
Yeah, training montage. And I think this would be a great place to scene.
Perfect.
As we, you're now, and we can, you guys can all think about, or we can talk about now, or you can do it in the credit scenes. We can do training montage scenes from next time, whatever you want to get out of the Takara Foundation. But assume it takes, I don't know, a weekish or so. You would still go to school, I would think, except for Sayako. Your suspension would probably be lifted after a week, so you'd go back to school. But in your evenings, you're in training montage, and even Sayako, I think, perhaps. Well,
I thought you said it was Friday, so like we get.
Oh yeah. So you have the weekend. Maybe Sayako's suspension was only through the end of the week.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, well, you guys tell me. I'm thinking that, there would be, you would be guests of the Takara Foundation, and they would train you. Maybe they even get you out of school. I don't know. You guys tell me. Like, maybe they teach you, they're teaching you things, and you have a special pass to get out of school. I don't care. We could still go to school, but
I think we all go home with...
I love how Jesse really is the... model student. Even
yeah, like, I was like, yeah, I can miss it with your school.
I wouldn't say I was missing it, Bob.
I think to clear it with her dad, Psycho definitely leans on the Takara name. And maybe even, I don't think I use the Takara Foundation. But maybe I lean on, like, Fuko has invited me to, spend the night over on Saturday so that I could spend Saturday and Sunday there. Because I'm on punishment. But I think the Takara name would be enough to get me out of it.
Okay. I almost want to make you roll, but I'm not going to because I need this to pass. So
I can always sneak out.
Yeah. No. I think your father actually, you get the sense that you, even though you use Fuka Takara, Takara Fuko, you know, as inviting you, and you know, your father is no, like, he may be disgraced, your clan may on maybe have some issues, but he is a very sharp guy.
Mm-hmm.
When he hears like the Takara name, even though you're not using the foundation, he allows it. So he sees it as you know, perhaps a alliance.
That's right.
An alliance that he hasn't agreed to, right? So if it goes south, he can always kind of cut you off. But it's got a lot of potential upside. So sure. Yeah, he sees through that and doesn't insist that you come home, and he allows this. Any other? I mean, I know. Well, Maru, you have the home situation where you kind of keep the house for your mom, right?
For my dad.
For your dad. How does that work out? What does Maru do?
Maru just tells her dad that that she's been in, they've been invited to an event by the Takara Foundation, and hints that there might be like scholarship money. Mm-hmm. In the mm-hmm. offering.
Okay. I'm going to make you take another point of obligation.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
It hurts. One more, and it's breakdown time, Maru. I do like
they're that. They're due. Yeah,
they are due. And Kenko.
Remember, I have a special power when I break down.
I know. But I might just want to see that happen.
Fair enough.
Kenko, and you here. Have your sister, Umi. But your home's not super.
It wouldn't safe. Be missed much. So probably I just made a quick phone call and said that I've got some sort of kendo tournament or something that
it's
I'm at.
Umi who answers. She's like, Baka, I don't even care if you come home.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, she really loves not a big you, though. Of course she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your whole family's fucked up. Very good.
Yeah. Right down to the incest.
No. Siskon doesn't necessarily mean you have to act on it.
There you all go. Right. Siskon.
Yeah, Siskon is the corrector. very good. So let's do end credits scenes from next week. Does anyone want to go first?
I would love to go first. I have a great one, I think.
Hit me.
Okay. So training montage is over. So the scene is the three of us are bowed on mats. And Takara Sensei is in front of us, and Takara Sensei is bestowing upon Sayako and myself katanas, and they're two very specific swords that we'll come to find have something to do with our respective families. So there were two famous sword makers in Japan, Muramasa and Masameni.
You're gonna have to write all this down in the Google.
Okay. We'll do it. So the Muramasa swords have a reputation for violence and bloodshed, and the Masamune swords were considered weapons of peace, both legendary katanas. So, you know, Masamasa goes to Sayaku. Now, Jason, of course, if you're not into this, that's cool. But
I think it's awesome.
And then the Masamune goes to Kenko.
So the peace goes to Kenko? Tracks.
Yes.
Yes.
And the violence and bloodshed. Sense. Yep. Goes to
say. I think I may also throw on these swords. They're linked together somehow in a way that you might not know yet.
Love it.
I love it. Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Good job. All right, who wants to go next?
I don't think I have anything else.
Okay, that's okay.
That was good.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Maru, do you have anything?
Let's see.
What would he give you?
Yeah, because Maru
in that ceremony.
Is there something? Go ahead.
He hands Maru a bell.
Okay. I like it.
Interesting.
Undefined. All right. And this is, are you thinking, Kenko and Maru, this is more of an end credits type thing? So we'll pick up from post training montage, post, you know, you have your whatever you've gotten, and we'll pick up from there.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Perfect. Perfect. Awesome.
That was good.
I love this. I love this. Yeah, so the only thing we're waiting on, Matt Allen, is for you to figure out your schedule. It looks like there's two possible dates. Hopefully you can do one of them. We'll see.
I will look. I have to just take a look at my calendar real quick, and I'll get back to you probably tomorrow, if that's cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just wanted to get the doodle out beforehand. If you wait too long, then it becomes problematic.
I know.
But, you know, a couple days is fine.
Yeah. I hope to get it out tomorrow. I just got to look. I got to go all the way to November. I don't know what the dates are exactly, but...
Yeah, no, they go to November crazy. because I skipped over AACCon, even though I'm not sure I'm going, but...
I know for
a fact. It changes from fucking day to day. Some days I'm like, oh, I should go, and then... I can just imagine being on a plane. It just,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anywho, we'll figure it out.
Okay. I'm typing in the stuff we just talked about into the thing. So we know, remember the names.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have the recording also, but it's always good to have it in the Google Doc.
And I thought I remembered this, but, now I can be sure there's like a Shinto hand bell thing that basically has like jingle bells on it, but it looks like a maraca, and then instead of the gourd, it's like a bunch of little jingle bells.
Okay. So is that what Maru got from Takara?
That's what Maru got.
Okay.
And Maru knows that in Shinto, like, it's supposed to scare away evil.
Oh, nice.
Spirits, but Maru doesn't really still doesn't really believe in that stuff.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Even though they can write stuff on paper and make it appear. Yeah. I like it. I like the cognitive dissonance. It's great. Very nice. All right, boys. Well, good stuff. I hope we got you out of your grumpiness, Jason. And I hope
works every time.
We made the co go away, Matt Allen and Jesse.
The co.
It sounds like a condition.
He isn't. He is that.
Yeah,
I think it is.
I certainly feel like, well, now it's dark, so I can't see the smoke in the sky, so I feel better. It was good. I love these sessions. So let's keep them going.
Yes.
I love it. This is so good.
It is good. All right, boys. You guys, it's midnight for Jesse. And thanks, Jesse. Need to pee again anyway. So
thanks, Doug. Right, fantastic.
From... Yeah, no, yeah. You guys, it's all, I mean, obviously, like, I came up with one thing. I'm like, dolls. So
and now I won't sleep tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jason. I'm
sorry. No, it's
it's good.
Stuff. Isn't it though? Perfect.
Yeah. That's foreshadowing. There's more shit to come.
So. I could tell. I caught on to what you were doing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. This is awesome.